Let me ask you something. Have you ever had a bad day? I mean, this is a good day, right? This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will
rejoice.
Oh, come on. You can do better than that. I will what?
Rejoice.
I will rejoice and be glad in it. But have you ever had a bad day? I mean, you know what I'm talking about, a bad day? Like when your son is sent to the principal's office and you're the principal? You knew this was coming. You knew this was coming. I couldn't get... Because I was the principal for a while of a Christian school, Community Baptist Christian School, and my son was in second grade, my eldest son, the one that's sitting down here in the second pew, and he was sent to the principal's office, and I was the principal, and you know, I'd always told them if they got a spanking at school, they were going to get spanking at home. Didn't know I'd be doing both of them. That was the thing. It was kind of scary sometimes, but I came out in the outer office and said, "Matthew, why are you here?" And he said, "Well, Dad, I've got an eraser stuck up my nose." I said, "You have what?" He says, "I have an eraser stuck up my nose." And he went back like this, and his right nostril was an eraser. I hurried him into my office because I didn't want anybody else to see that he had an eraser stuck up his nose. And I said, "Son, how in the world did you get an eraser stuck up your nose?" And he said, "Well, the eraser came off my pencil, and I put it in my nose and let it hang out so it looked like something else." Now, you see why he does skits at the Wilds, okay? This started early in life. Early in life this started. And he said, "I forgot it was there, Dad, and I sniffed. And it came up the nose." Now, if you look at the Herbster nose, you do understand it's a pretty powerful tool. I mean, all of us are well-blessed in the nose. But we could not get that eraser out of his nose. We had to take him to the emergency room, my wife had to take him. I might have been recognized. Can you imagine? Christian school principal's son has a eraser stuck up his nose. Headlines of the newspaper would hurt the cause of Christ. You know, I had to make sure the testimony was good. But, you know, have you ever had that kind of day, bad day? I remember as a young pastor how the chairman of the deacons and a group of families were going to leave our church. I teach young preachers today, I say, in the first year, you get to know the people. In the second year, you pastor, they get to know you. In the third year, they decide whether they're going to stay. In the fourth year, you decide whether you're going to stay, depending on how many people left. And in the fifth year, that's when you really get to start your ministry. So I tell our seminary guys, when you go out as students, I want you to go out and pastor churches. I want you to make sure that you're willing to stay for at least 5 years because it hurts. I remember in that time I called my pastor and he said, "You think it hurts now? Wait till the time comes when people you've led to the Lord, people you've discipled, people you've ministered to have come into your church and they leave the church." Well, I've had that happen now too. I know what it's like to have a bad day, a difficult day. Remember recently when they told my wife that she had a bad blood test and she had to go back and have another test done. And then they said, "We think that you have the possibilities of multiple myeloma." And we had to go to Little Rock, Arkansas to a multiple myeloma clinic, a deadly cancer. Praise the Lord. We found out she didn't have that. But then they said she has amyloidosis. I couldn't even pronounce it for the longest time, let alone figure out what it was. But even more rare than multiple myeloma is amyloidosis. And so now we had to go to Mayo Clinic in Minnesota to find out about this amyloidosis. And praise the Lord, she doesn't have amyloidosis. What she has is muggus. What's muggus? Monoclonal gammopathy of an undetermined significance. So now we're still in the unknown realm of medicine. You know, and it can be challenging times. If you have gone through difficulties with your spouse or some family member that's had physical trials and difficulties, you know the challenge that it can be. And if that wasn't enough, I went in for a normal checkup and ended up going and having a heart catheterization, and now they've got 3 stents in me. But I got my heart right, folks. I'm right with the Lord. I got my heart right, and it's fixed. But you know the challenges of life. All of us face challenges of life. All of us face difficulties of life. The question isn't whether we're going to face them. The question is, how are we going to face them? I want you to turn to James chapter 1. Because I believe James gives us some very good practical instruction on how to deal with difficulties of life. Or as I like to say it, how to tackle the trials of life. How to be able to be victorious in times of difficulty. When I was president of the American Association of Christian Schools, I found the challenge there is in leading leaders. It's amazing how critical people can be critical of those who are critical, so that everybody is critical. I remember when I had a letter sent out all across the country about me, and if the things in that letter were true, I wouldn't like me either. Now, praise the Lord, it was before email. Now we got technical gossip up there, you know, the internet with some of these blogs and websites and all these other things that everybody knows better. And how, and it's no fun to have people taking shots at you and saying things about you. But, you know, Jesus Christ said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Did you realize that? That you can count on it. In this world, there's going to be some tribulation. There's going to be some trials. But also, what did Jesus say? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah! No matter what situation comes your way in life, you can handle it. Well, hold on. You can handle it with Christ. Because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I believe James gives us some practical teaching on how to deal with the difficulties of life, how to tackle the trials of life that I've tried to practice, I've tried to see accomplished in my life, and I hope you will see them accomplished in your life. Look what it says in James chapter 1, starting in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count on all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, how many of us here lack wisdom? All of us. If you didn't raise your hand, you're lacking wisdom, not to admit that you lack wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful for this wonderful opportunity to be here with my friends and co-believers in Christ. I'm just so thankful for the opportunity that we have to have a personal relationship with you through Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord, that in this world there are trials, there are difficulties. And I don't know the situation some in this auditorium are facing even today. But I know that there are challenges that have just been dealt with, or challenges that will have to be dealt with in the days to come. And I know that we need to deal with them according to your word. So help us to learn from this passage of Scripture how to deal with difficulties, how to allow situations of life to make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I want you to look at verse 2. For our first truth that I think can help us deal with the difficulties of life, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That seems strange. He says, count it all joy. In other words, rejoice in the difficulties of life. How many of you wake up in the morning praying for a bad day? How many of you, when you get a bad report from the doctor, say, hallelujah? Or when you find out from the IRS that you owe more than you thought you owe. I can remember in seminary, we'd gone from the business world to seminary, and my income changed drastically. And I went to an accountant to make sure that everything was handled properly when I did the taxes, because I figured I was probably going to be audited. May I tell you something? Accountants make mistakes too. I came home from seminary one day, and we're sitting around the table, and my children said, Daddy, Mommy got a letter in the mail today that made her cry. And then she started crying again. And so she runs away from the table, so I have to go to the back room and find out. Well, we had gotten a letter from the IRS saying that because we had not done our taxes right, that we owe $2,000 more than what we really had paid. And you can imagine, on a seminary student, and the income we had at that time, it looked like an unsurmountable mountain. You know, there are difficulties. I didn't wake up in the morning and said, Lord, please give me an IRS bill. You know, we're praying to get bills paid off, not to get new ones. And we can realize that in life there are situations that come that we would never look for. We would never desire. So what's he talking about when he says, rejoice when you fall into divers temptations? Keep your finger here and go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look what it says in verse 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and look what it says in verse 12. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But do what?
Rejoice.
We have a hard time even saying it, don't we? But do what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice in the trial, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. He says that we have the responsibility to rejoice in these difficulties, in these trials. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ said it this way. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, key word, falsely. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? Great is your reward in heaven. You're laying up treasures in heaven when people will falsely accuse you, say evil things about you, criticize you behind your back, gossip about you unjustifiably. Rejoice because you're laying up treasures in heaven. Now, I'm not telling you to rejoice in the problem or the difficulty or the circumstance. That would be unnatural and not expected. We can't rejoice in the problem. But we can rejoice in the providence of God. Do you believe in the providence of God? We heard about it this morning. Do you believe that God planned for Jesus Christ to go on the cross and pay the price for our sin? It was ordered of God. He had every detail taken care of. May I tell you something? He's got every detail of your life taken care of too. And you don't have to worry about situations coming your way. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And our responsibility is not to rejoice in the problem. Whoopee! Another problem. Oh, good! A difficulty. Oh, whoopee! A fatal disease. No, 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 no. But we can rejoice in the providence of God because God is still on the throne and He is in control. How many of you ever heard of Ron Hamilton? 475 in your hymnal. Are you familiar with this? Ron Hamilton and I are the same age. He went to the same church where I was assistant pastor, Community Baptist Church. I know I look younger than Ron. You're all saying, how could you be the same age? I know he looks a lot older, but we are the same age. Good friends. I remember the time when he was going to go into the hospital and he was going to find out whether he had cancer in his eye or whether he just had an infection in his eye, and said, I'll either come out with a sore eye, I'll come out with no eye. Well, we all know what happened, right? He came out with a patch. I can remember him telling the story about the little boys and girls that came up to him at the church, in the front of the church, the Southside Baptist Church, where I attended while I was going to my graduate work at BJ. And they came running up there and they'd say to him, oh, whoa, look at you. Are you a pirate? And he said, wow, I guess I am. I guess I'm Patch the Pirate. And guess what happened? A whole new ministry was established that has impacted the world because of what could have been seen as a very tragic situation. But even more impressive may be this song, 475. They came through a difficult time of life because somebody knew what it said in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord when things are going good, right? Rejoice in the Lord when the Lord is blessing, right? No, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God never moves without purpose or plan when trying His servant or molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness, He giveth a song. He said, I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior and said, what a great lesson. Realizing that God planned out the cross, He'll plan out your life. I bowed to the will of the Master that day, then peace came and tears flowed away. Now I can see that testing comes from above. God strengthens His children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in His care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord.
He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
Do you believe it? Job had to experience it. Joseph had to experience it. Guess what? Even Jesus Christ himself had to take the trials of life and remember that God is control. Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The first thing I think James is telling us here is God's word is making it plain that we need to rejoice. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Not in the trial, not in the difficulty, but rejoice in the God who has allowed it to happen, knowing that he has a purpose and a plan. Rejoice in the providence of God. Look what it says back in James chapter 1, in verse 3 and 4. James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That you may be complete, that you might be mature. Are you familiar with 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. Same word. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That you might be that mature Christian that God wants you to be. Are you familiar with Ephesians chapter 4? We say Ephesians 4 verse 12 is our theme verse for our church. Perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But you know what it says in verse 13? Till we come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Perfect man. Same word. Mature man. Complete man. Perfect. What is that perfect, complete man? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, God's plan for us is that we would be like Christ. He wants us to act like Christ. He wants us to think like Christ. He wants us to be like Christ. As a matter of fact, many have memorized Romans 8:28. Because when those trials do come, we want to quote Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. What a wonderful verse. What a comforting verse. To rejoice in the providence of God. But go on, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to do what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. Remember what God is trying to do in our lives. He's trying to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Did he have any trials in his life? Did he have any difficulties in his life? Did anybody speak evil of him? Well, then, number two, remember the purpose of God. Remember the purpose of God. You can rejoice in the providence of God. God's in control, but let's remember the purpose. What is the purpose? Christ-likeness. God is trying to make us to be like Christ. And when he was reviled, he did what? Reviled not again. He did not get even. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Christ on the cross, when he was crucified, unjustifiably said, "Judge them, God." No. What did he say? "Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do." How do we feel when we're wronged? When we're falsely accused? When somebody says something behind our back? When somebody does something to us? Are we learning the lessons of Christ's likeness? I believe when trials and difficulties come into your life, there's probably three things God's trying to do. Three things. Number one, he may be disciplining you. I'll tell you, anytime I have struggles in life, the first thing I want to evaluate is God trying to get my attention? Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. So is this discipline? We have to evaluate that. Think that through. And as we go through that and say, no, I'm right with God. As best I know how, I'm right with God. Just like Joseph was right with God, and Job was right with God, and there were challenges that would come. But the second thing he may be trying to do is to show you a direction. He may be trying to shut a door and open up another one. He may try to get you to be doing something that you're not doing. Or stop doing something you are doing. He may be working on your direction of life and trying to bring some circumstances in your life to change your direction. But you know what I find a lot of times God's just trying to do in our lives? He's trying to give us devotion. A greater love for Him. A greater confidence in Him. He's trying to make us stronger in Him. I don't know about you, but it seems like my prayer life gets strengthened when I'm going through trials. Do you ever have that? Are you kind of like me, that sometimes when things are going well, you can get to the point where you don't have the same prayer life, you don't have the same devotion life, because after all, everything is going well, and God, I've got this under pretty good control, and then all of a sudden something has to come into your life and drive you to your knees again. Sad to say, many times the greatest lessons of life are learned in the valleys, not on the mountaintops. And it's there where we have to get along with God, and where we have to really ask God to give us strength and encouragement and help. I had a year in 2003 that I said, oh me in 03. Because we had so many difficult things happening in the ministry. Somebody that was disgruntled with our church and left the church turned us into the Secretary of State and said we were running a bank. Didn't know we were running a bank. Didn't see any teller windows in the foyer. You know, we didn't even have the offering place where you swipe your card. We hadn't even gotten that far yet, you know, and so I didn't know anything. But we had a situation where folks could put money at the church, kind of like a bond program, and instead of paying the mortgage, the 8%, we were paying it to these people. And so we had to go through a Secretary of State investigation, which was quite a struggle. Well, same person turned us into the Kansas City Star. I don't know what was worse, turning us into the Secretary of State or turning us into the Kansas City Star. Please don't go home and Google my name. Because you'll see some interesting articles, local, blessed are the moneymakers, you know, that we're all the things that we're involved in internationally and some property development, all these other things. They were trying to make it look like that we were all in it for the almighty dollar instead of in it for the cause of Christ. I came home from a missions trip and came home from that missions trip and my associate pastor came to me and said, you know, I think our youth pastor is having a wrong relationship with his secretary, and it was found out to be true, and I had to confront that. All in the same year. If that wasn't enough, I found out that our business manager had been embezzling money from our church, and he embezzled over $1 million from our church in the year, over the last 7 years, and it came to light in that year. He's serving a prison term right now, even as we speak. And I wish I could say that was all. You know, but then I found out that we even had a deacon who was a child molester who's in prison. Is all in the Have you ever had a challenging year? You know, how do we deal with those things? How do we handle them? Well, we rejoice in the fact that God is in control. And He's not going to tempt us above what we are able, but we will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that we'll be able to bear it. We also realize that He's got a purpose. He's trying to make us into the image of Jesus Christ. He's making us trust Him more and more and more. Tell you what, my prayer life got stronger. I evaluated my priorities. I was looking around saying, God, what are you trying to do in my life? He changed my direction. That's when I resigned the American Association of Christian Schools, that I got to stay home and be involved in this local church and make sure that these things are being taken care of. But God was working it all out for good because He was causing me to respond in ways that I didn't know I could respond. See, the Apostle Paul said it this way, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. We've been involved in church planting, and by God's grace, we've had the opportunity to see 7 other churches in our area started out of our church. And now I could sort of say we've had 8 started out of our church because I had another one started with people that got disgruntled over that time of 2003 and started another church, and one of my assistants is out there pastoring that church. Praise the Lord. If they'll reach that community for the Lord, God has to scatter people sometimes. How do we respond? Are there any weightlifters here? Any of you guys weightlift? I didn't think so. I was looking at you. I could kind of tell you. But when you lift weights, okay? When you lift weights, do you put on more weight or less weight if you want to bulk up, if you want to be strong? Do you say, well, I got to take off some weight so I can, get a little stronger? You say, no, that's foolish. What do? You put on more weight. And so that you can get stronger. And let me ask you, do you do fewer repetitions or more repetitions? If you're going to try to be strong, if you're going to try to get the endurance, if you're going to try to get the strength, what do? More repetitions. You do that so that you can get stronger. Well, guess what? God sometimes has to put on more weight. So we trust Him more. Sometimes the trials have to be longer. So we trust Him more. But I remind you, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. What trial is God putting you through? What difficulty is He bringing your way? What weight is He putting on you to make you stronger? To help you have a stronger prayer life? To get you to trust Him more, less, to get you to respond even as Jesus Christ responded, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes going through situations, I've said to my wife, well, they haven't crucified me yet. Might be the next thing on the list, I don't know, but they haven't crucified me yet. And when you think about it, if they haven't crucified us yet, then what? We have it better than Jesus Christ. Because they crucified Him. His own received Him not. You see, you can't rejoice in the problem, but you can rejoice in the providence of God. And you can get weary in well-doing, but remember, God has a purpose. Remember, He's trying to make you into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of God. And thirdly, the only way you're going to make it is to rely on the promises of God. Back in James chapter 1, look what it says in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and he'll consider giving it to you. He'll evaluate whether you deserve it. He'll determine whether you're living a good enough life that he'll let you have it. Is that what the Bible says? No. What does the Bible say? He will give it to you. It is a promise of God. And by the way, this is just one of many. This is just an illustration of the many promises that God gives us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. My God shall supply all your needs. His grace is sufficient for you. And I'll not tempt you above what you're able, but I'll give you a way of escape that you may be able to bear. And I've spent a lot of my life reading the Proverbs. I don't know if any of you do that, but I like to read the proverb of the day. Whatever day of the month it is, read that proverb. You know, there's how many proverbs? 31. And so that every month you can read through the Proverbs if you'll take one a day. And we'll talk about the ladies several times throughout the month, the year with Proverbs 31. But I like to read a proverb every day. And that's such teaching for young men. And that's part of the reason. But I was also raising young men, and I wanted them to learn these great teachings for young men. And of course, it's just tremendous teaching for all of us. But I've also got in the habit now of reading 5 Psalms a day. The Psalms are great places to go in times of trial. Great places to go in times of trouble and difficulty. The Psalms have so many practical promises that we can rely on. Go to the Psalms for just a second. Let me just show you something. You may want to do that. So if you're going through a trial, I just encourage you. How many Psalms a day would you have to read to go through it every month? Five. 150 Psalms. You can go through the Psalms every month for a year. And boy, I'll tell you, it'll change your life. It'll revolutionize your life. Look what it says in Psalm 27. Yeah, I said that's revolutionize your wife, too. She's the one that encouraged me to do that, by the way. Psalm 27. The Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" Look at verses 13 and 14 in Psalm 27. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." I love Psalm 41. Going through this embezzlement situation, and if you knew this individual the way I know this individual, a good friend, somebody that I trusted explicitly. And it says in Psalm 41, starting verse 9, "Mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite him. But this I know, that thou favorest me, because thine enemy doth not triumph over me. As for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." Of course, you could go to Psalm 55 and see it say a very similar thing about God upholding us if we'll do right. Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in" what? "Trouble. Be still and know that I am God," he says in verse 10. Just be still and know. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We can have confidence in him. Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Verse 3. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Verse 11. "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man could do unto me." I love Psalm 61. Verse 2, "From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." I've been there. Have you ever been there? Where you were just overwhelmed with it all. Didn't know how you could go on. It just seemed like things were, the waves of trouble were just coming one after another. When I'm overwhelmed, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Look, it says in verse 5 and 6 of Psalm 62, "My soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." Is that your testimony? Go to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse 26. "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Psalm 86. And I'm just, skimming the surface here. There's so many more that you could be looking at. And I'm sure your Bible is marked up like my Bible is marked up with these different verses. It says in verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous and mercy and truth. O turn unto me, have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me." It's the Lord that gives that hope and gives that comfort. Psalm 109, just a couple more. A lot of these, I have dates written by them. I have names written by them because of situations that God has used these verses in my life. Psalm 109 and verse 26, "Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it." Psalm 112. Verse 7 and 8. "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies." Psalm 143. Look at verses 4 and 5. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. God is control of the universe. He can handle our little situations of life. In Psalm 146 and verse 5. You want to be happy? Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. My hope is in the who gave himself for me. Is that your hope? The God that rose from the dead, Jesus Christ, is the God that can help you in any situation of life. I've found that one of the best things that I have done in helping me and deal with some of the situations of life is to memorize some of these passages. I think discouragement is one of the devil's best tools for defeating the work of God. And so, the way we defeat the devil is by memorizing Scripture. Jesus Christ fought off the devil in Matthew chapter 4 with the Word of God, that he hid God's Word in his heart. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And he defeated the devil with Scripture, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I remember when that group left with the chairman. By the way, that chairman that left is now back, serving with us again. I always remind pastors, don't, you know, make people mad when they leave. Oh, good riddance to bad rubbish. Backdoor revival. Glory to God. Good thing we got rid of him. Now we've got sweet spirit. Oh, no. I tell people, if I get used to people leaving our church, then I've lost my pastor's heart, and I'm going to resign. Because it hurts. But Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded thee? Then be strong and good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Proverbs 24 and verse 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We're to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. 2 Corinthians verse chapter 4 and verse 1 says, seeing therefore you have this ministry, as you've received mercy, we faint not. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Galatians 6 and verse 7. And he tells us that men ought always to pray. Always to pray and not to faint. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. I gave you Galatians 6, 7, 6, 9. I wanted to correct that. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season shall reap if you faint not. Scripture. Memorizing Scripture and hiding God's Word in your heart. And I want to close with a passage in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, one that you'll be familiar with. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. As the Apostle Paul had to deal with some trials and he had to deal with some difficulties, he says in verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, what? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I don't know if any of you have read Jim Berg's little book, Ken Collier's Truths, Four Stabilizing Truths for Trouble. I have a hard time memorizing things, so I use acrostics or I use alliteration or I use something else to kind of help me memorize. And so I've taken those truths and kind of expanded them to five, and I've used the word grace. You might want to write this down. G-R-A-C-E. Maybe you've got them memorized, and so you don't need this little memory tool, but it helps me. G-R-A-C-E. Grace. G. Everything is God. God's grace is sufficient. When we think about troubles that come our way, remember that God's grace is sufficient. R, God's reason is Christ-likeness. What he's doing is he's trying to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. In all things, if we'll love God and be called according to his purpose, he's trying to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. A, God's answers are in the Bible. When you go through a trial or difficulty, don't run from the Bible, run to the Bible. Grab hold of those truths. Memorize those truths. Utilize those truths in future challenges. C, God's compassion is constant. In the good days or the bad days, God loves us. And God has a plan for our life. And E, you'll like this one, God's escape is promised. You may have those difficult days. You may have those difficult months. You may have those difficult years. But God's escape is promised. He'll not tempt us above what we're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you're able to bear it. God's grace is sufficient. I don't know if you know that Dr. Light and I both have an EDD. That's a doctorate of education. PhD, doctor of philosophy, or doctor of education is the EDD, and that's our degree. Now, I'm not one of these that likes to give away honorary degrees, you know. I'm not one that thinks we should just give everybody a degree. And Heart of America Seminary, we don't give away honorary degrees or anything. But in practical practice today, I think that acrostic, EDD, could help you to deal with the difficulties of life. To tackle the trials of life. Because E is you can expect opposition. Did you hear me? You can expect opposition. You think the blessing of having a child, it is a blessing. Anybody expecting a child or having a little one? It's a blessing, but you can expect opposition. Let me just tell you something. That's a little sinner that's being born in your house. Let me tell you something. The devil doesn't like the work of the Lord. And you, those that live godly shall suffer persecution. So expect opposition. D. Depend upon God. Depend upon God. That's what I've been trying to share with you this morning. Rejoice in the providence of God. Remember the purpose of God. And rely on the promises of God. Depend upon God. You can't handle it. I can't handle it. But guess what? God can handle it. And D, don't quit. It's pretty simple, right? But just don't quit. Just keep on keeping on. Be an ever-ready battery bunny for God. Just keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't quit. Expect opposition. Depend upon God. And just don't quit. Because in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Mark it down. But also mark down what Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and we can be overcomers also. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to serve you and to watch you work in my life and the lives of others. And I don't know the situations that folks here in this congregation might be facing. I know a lot of them in our church back home. And I know wherever there's people, there's problems. So I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts this morning. Give comfort and encouragement as only you can. And I pray that we will learn how to deal with these things and allow you to be God and to have your perfect will and way in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.